Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double five one. Wash your hands. Various aspects now of the Gordon Elliott story beginning to expand in different directions. Two people separately are willing to go on air about this aspect of it. Peter McNamara in Limerick and Marion. Peter, what your point about the British horse racing authorities banning Gordon Elliott until the Irish horse racing authorities ban him, so to speak? He's out of Cheltenham, effectively. Your point, please, Peter.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for having me. Yeah. Listen, the first thing is I've no connection with Gordon Elliott. I have an interest in racing, and I worked with a bookie when I was going through college and school and all that.
Okay.
And everybody agrees it's a terrible photograph. You know, there's no denying that. And Gordon even admits that himself. The point I was reacting to this morning is that the BHA have come out now. That's the British Horse Racing Association. And they're banning him or putting him on hold or whatever without even a trial or a hearing. And I was thinking, that's a bit ironic, you know, because Sheikh Mohammed, you know, he's in the news for all the wrong reasons, not to do with horses, but to do with his daughter Latifa, I think, isn't it, and his wife, and Mary Robinson's been interviewed about it, and I wonder, will we get Coram na Féine from the British, like, as regards Gordon Elliott hasn't even, as far as I know, broken a law. He sat on a horse. Stupid photograph, terrible image, but you know, well, here we go.
It's not just the Sheikh has been found. Can people hear me? Is there a problem?
It was up in the UK court last year, and for claims of threats and harassment, and they found that it was on balance of probabilities, it was factual.
Okay.
Gordon hasn't even been given a trial yet.
Peter, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Joe.
Okay. You're not talking about an image. You're talking about an act. You were saying the image is awful. The act is awful.
Of
the
course,
image,
you know,
captured
look,
the act.
I'm not going to argue about words or descriptions, Joe. It's a terrible situation. I'm not defending Gordon Elliott.
And you're saying Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum.
It looks, and whatever the act was, it's terrible. I don't know if you do much racing. I've gone to point-to-points. I've gone to horse racing. It's terrible any time to see, and I love horses. I bring my kids to horses.
Yeah.
I love the horse whispering type of association with animals and that. My father had horses when we were kids, and he was more into he bought and sold show jumping horses. But I respect all that type of thing. But the point I'd make. Oh, by the way, one point I would make is that. You know, we can be down on people and trainers and whatever if something goes wrong. One of the points I'd like to make about Gordon Elliott is that he made his name, actually, on restoring a horse who was actually, not to coin a pun, hadn't a leg to stand on, Silver Birch, and spent an awful lot of time with treatment and vets, bringing him back to full fitness and to a point where he won the Grand National. Now, he gets no credit for that. I would say I would agree. Terrible brownie points. He should be docked for this terrible lapse. But also, we should talk about has he treated animals well? Silver Birch, I've forgotten the year. About 2000. It's over 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't have any money on the horse. I actually fancied him on the day. It was 33-1, I think. But apart from that, and there are great. Other stories like that. I know a horse trainer above in Nina who brought a horse back from the dead virtually as well and had a great runs with him and the horse was.
But your point about Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, who's one of the biggest horse owners in the world.
Getting back to that point, the British have, I think that the horse racing industry would want to look at itself and say, Sheikh Mohammed would probably, he probably has stud farms here as well, and in England, and has a few trainers over there, a lot of horses in training on the flat, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And what you know, he associates with royalty, with the Queen, and you know, he has a UK court found that the claims against him were on the balance of probabilities factual. And we've seen Mary Robinson on. Now, there's something against human beings. Will they take the same attitude?
Well, do horse racing authorities take into account misdemeanors or crimes, indeed, or convictions in the non-equine world?
I don't know the detail of that, Joe. But I mean, for a start, I'd have to say, did Gordon Elliott commit a crime? I don't think he even broke a law. He made a stupid, in my view. Look, I'm a bit older than Gordon. If he was my son, I'd be saying, you made a stupid, bloody idiot of yourself, a prank. Get over it and move on. You'd have to be. I would say, certainly, Gordon won't happen again. And he has a lot of horses. I mean, he's probably the second biggest trainer in the country after probably the Bromhead and Willie Mullins on the National Hunt.
And he's 80 staff.
Yeah, he's a huge amount of staff.
Okay, stay there, Peter. Marion, your point, please. Marion.
Hello, yes. Well, I agree. I feel Sheikh Mohammed hasn't been mentioned, really, and it's a pity if they're concerned about a dead animal and nothing really about his daughters. And he has a couple of stud farms in Kildare, anyway, at least, and I'm sure maybe more. And he would have interests in England as well. I know he's given a lot of money to the Car Race Course, and that's very generous of him. Mm-hmm. But his daughters are people, you know, humans, they're not animals. That's really the point I'd like to make. I feel Gordon Elliott really probably. The animal was dead. He wasn't butchering the animal or anything. The animal was dead. There's a horse farm near me, or a horse place here where they cut up horses, and that's it. They're dead, and we accept that. You know, maybe he didn't mean it or it looked bad, but
well, the Sheikh,
I'm sure
the Sheikh
he didn't mean it.
Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid.
Sheikh Mohammed hasn't been mentioned at all,
and
the treatment of his daughters. You know. So that's all really, Joe, and thank you for...
He's five studs in our five stud farms in Ireland under
Godolphin
Racing.
Well, I know he's a couple. He's one near,
well,
two within a few miles before I live here.
But Marion, the fact that you say Sheikh Mohammed, what are you saying? The Gardaí should arrest him when he comes to Ireland?
No, well, I'm not actually saying that, but there's no outcry about it. Like,
there is.
The whole Mary Robinson... Well, I'm just speaking out now over this because I feel Gordon Elliott as well. He's probably come up too fast and too quick for some people. He is sort of on the same lines in horse racing as Michael O'Leary was through aeroplanes. You know, he knows his stuff. He's doing well up to now. This is an unfortunate incident. And I think the British are jumping the gun by just banning him before... any of us know the full story. I think it's OTT, to be honest. It's a first
Joe,
world
I come
problem.
In there just briefly?
Peter,
Joe,
yes.
I'd just like to say goodbye now because, you know...
Okay,
I
very
made
good,
my
Marion.
Point.
Very good.
Okay,
and the point,
you,
point well made, Marion. Mind yourself. Yeah.
Some
Peter.
Very good points there. And one of the other points I'd make as well is it's a terrible timing for people involved in horse racing. They put a lot of money into it. I personally know some people... And they stick with horses, Jesus, like, and those horses are going nowhere, and they keep them in training, and they keep, you know, pumping money in.
Why did
and
the photograph
the
come out now?
We know.
You don't know the answer.
A love affair with Irish horses in Ireland, more so here than in England. And I would accept that, you know, it's a terrible time coming up to Cheltenham with the owners, especially with Gordon has a lot of owners. But I would say maybe even at the worst, Gordon should, his assistant trainer should be appointed for an interim period to get them through Cheltenham. And when everything calms down a bit, the Irish horse racing people, the IHRB or whatever it is, and the BHA could have a calmer decision on this. Everybody is kind of overreacting, I think, at the moment. Mm. It's a terrible image, no, don't get me wrong, but I think, look... You could, as my wife said to me this morning, you could be at a graveside, burying a spouse, you know, hopefully not, but and you could be in a terrible situation, and you could have a photograph taken in an instant when somebody cracks a joke, and it gives the wrong impression. So, look, I think it's time to, you know, a little bit of OTT and the whole thing, you know.
Sharon Powers, stay with us if you can, Peter. Sharon Powers, Irish Horse Welfare Trust. Sharon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How do we treat horses in general in Ireland?
In general, we do treat our horses well. We're the land of the horse, but, I mean, we do have a horse welfare problem in the country in all sectors, and we have had for as long as I'm involved in welfare, which is about 20 years. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to make a few comments just in relation to the photo, because it is the photo, and indeed the act itself, is awful and very disrespectful on every level to the horse and to everyone who loves horses. But at least that horse was not a welfare case, and he was looked after during his life. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, this man looks after his horses very well. I mean, I personally have had to step over dead horses to get into places to rescue live ones over the years. And these are the pictures I have etched in my mind, yeah, of dead horses. You know, I've picked up young foals that were found suckling their starved, dead mothers. And I've sat with dying horses for hours waiting on vets on the top of mountains, trying to comfort them until the vet arrived to put them to sleep. So these are the worst dead horses I've ever seen. And, I think if anything good can come out of this...
Okay, the horse up the mountain. What happened to the horse up the mountain? Like, who's abandoning these horses?
Well, who knows? I mean, they're all microchipped, but they're not.
Well, some of them are microchipped, surely.
Some of them are, but a lot of the ones we get are not microchipped, so it's very difficult to identify an owner. That particular horse had been abandoned on a mountain, had put his foot in a hole and broke his leg, and there was nothing could be done for him, and all I could do was sit with him until the vet could arrive, which he had to hike up the mountain to get to him as well. So you're talking about a few hours, and it was a horrible experience. And, I mean, that horse and many of those horses haunt me still. But I just wanted to say, Joe,
One, where did I hear the story of
the microchip being gouged? That was one of our horses, yeah.
The microchip was gouged out of the animal?
Yes.
My God.
Yeah.
And what's
she had a tiny foal with her as well.
Oh, and what's the law?
The law is that every horse is meant to be microchipped from foal onwards. But, I mean, it's not enforced, but it's difficult to enforce in some sectors as well. There is a lack of education in some communities, and there's a lot of work to be done in some communities on that microchipping enforcement and that, awareness of the legislation. But the other point I want to make, Joe, please, is if anything good can come out of all this horrible stuff over the last few days, maybe it's that people might support ourselves and other charities that are involved in frontline rescue of horses and ponies. With COVID, our fundraising has practically been wiped out. We have a huge mortgage on our farm. Too. We're struggling to survive like all the other charities. Yeah. So maybe something good can
and
come
you get
of
any
this.
Given, you see, I think one of the things that upset, well, many aspects of this yesterday, is that the Irish horse racing industry is seriously subsidised by the taxpayer. Seriously, yeah. Probably more so than any other sport in terms of tax breaks and also in terms of actual grants. But do you get any, do horse welfare charities?
We do. We do. Right. We get a grant annually from Horse Racing Ireland and from the Department of Agriculture, which is essential to our survival. But it's not enough to sustain our operations. We are dependent on fundraising and donations.
Do you get any money from horse racing stables? Breeding stables,
some trainers and owners and that donate, but there's no obligation.
Do you get any money from Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
Not in the last couple of years, no.
Okay, because he gives he's very good in Ireland. Well, apart from running 5 stud farms and employing so many people, he also apparently gives money to race courses. He gives money to third level institutions.
Yeah, I think he gives money to the UK horse charities as well.
And would you take money from them?
We would gladly take donations, yes. We would, of course. We have 70 equines
Even though a British court ruled, this is Peter's point, even though a British court ruled, and we know it now through the Mary Robinson connection, that's mainly how it came to fore in Ireland, if not internationally in fairness, that Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum organised the kidnapping of his children.
Well, I don't know anything about that now, to be honest, Joe. and that's somebody else's fight. I mean, my fight is for horses and neglected horses.
Okay. Peter, what about that point that third level colleague, you mentioned race courses, I think. He owns five stud farms in Ireland. You can imagine the number of jobs there and all the ancillary. Apparently he gives money to third level institutions and more. Do you think they should all, and Sharon says we're so badly stuck at the minute, we would take money from Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
I know. Look, I mean,
do you think the third level colleges should hand back the money?
These guys have enormous wealth and they spread it around and they create great employment and they give
my question is, because I want to find out why you're focusing on this, which is totally legitimate.
Can I ask the question?
Do you think, given what you've said about Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, do you think that third level colleges, other institutions, other organisations in the country, including the Irish Horse Welfare Trust, if he gave them anything, he doesn't at the minute, do you think they should send back the money?
No, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. Really,
but you
Joe,
see,
in that regard.
But you're using. Hang on, Joe, no, Peter. Your point is, you are using Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. You're using him to try and exonerate Gordon Elliott.
If you were consistent, Gordon or put an impending ban on him going to Cheltenham. I don't hear anything similar coming from that association against the likes of Sheikh Maktoum. Sheikh Mohammed, rather.
Yeah, but why does your point?
Yeah. My point was that the British Horse Racing Association has taken this decision on nearly a trial by media before Gordon gets a hearing. So it was not against anything that Sheikh or Gordon or anybody else was doing. It was the decision by the British Horse Racing Association to cause this sort of turmoil coming up to Cheltenham with Gordon.
But you're raising the Sheikh Mohammed story now.
Yeah. Yeah.
In light of the Gordon Elliott story, you're not raising the Sheikh Mohammed story in light of its own merits or demerits.
No, well, what I'm
because
what
you're not saying
to put an Irish phrase on it, Joe, Corum de Fena. Will we get equal treatment for we have equal treatment?
Okay, Michael,
for everybody
say
from
there,
the
Peter,
BHA
Joe at RT.ie. Joe at RT.ie. Michael Clark, your point, please.
Hello, Joe. First of all, let me say I totally disagree with the picture.
Even Gordon Elliott doesn't agree with the picture.
But my point, Joe, is so many people have been on hypocrisy to me about the love of the horse.
Yeah.
And my point is, how can you love a horse and beat the backside off it with a whip coming up the straight? That's my point. If you love a horse, you won't whip it.
Peter, do you know a bit about horse racing? I don't.
Why does a horse have to be whipped?
A little bit. Well, actually, that's being curtailed. I would generally agree with that chap. No, listen, a little bit of a tip on some horses, you just have to wake them up. That's from listening to the likes of Ted Walsh and all the rest of them. But, you know, they have curtailed and jockeys have been banned for excessive use of the whip or the crop.
True,
and that's as much as you can say.
And the rules have been tightened.
It's a never-ending argument.
Well, if you love a horse, you won't whip it.
Fair enough.
Well, then you're saying
that would be my attitude if I was up on a horse.
I would actually say that poor horse, if there is a God heaven, he's probably up there now saying, thank God I won't be hit with a whip again.
Well, I can't put myself into a horse's mind. But anyway, that's some of them do respond to urging by whipping. But you're only entitled, as far as I know, I don't know the exact rules, four or five taps in the last few furlongs. It is very much regulated.
Okay, as Tracy Pickett pointed out yesterday, the rules have been tightened. However, Michael, do you watch horse racing?
I do, Joe. I'm a retired man. I watch it every day of the week, nearly.
Well, there's a bit of a giveaway now in the title. It's called horse racing. Okay, now you don't. I presume if you whisper into a horse's ear, will you promise me you'll go faster? I'll give you more feed when we get back to the stable. The horse won't turn around and say, "Oh yeah, I'll go faster. Thanks very much." It is an animal.
It is an animal, Joe. But should an animal not be just let run out its race as best as it can?
Well, would the jockey be allowed use his boots on the horse?
Provided he hasn't got spurs on.
We can kick the horse in the tummy.
Well, not kick him. I suppose just urge him on. Yeah, you know, but
that's what he's saying. The whip is urging him on.
The whip is urging him on, and I'm sure the horse must feel the whip.
But I think if you watch horse racing, there are a number of givens, and one is that the horses are racing each other, and the horses are trying to beat each other, and the object of the jockeys is, apart from their incredible skill and bravery, the object of the jockeys is to try and get their horse over the finishing line before the fella beside him or the woman beside him.
Well, what I'm saying to you, Joe, is if the horse is good enough, just let the horse run out its race.
So
the horse is not going to say, "Oh, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to have a go today, I'm going to laze today," you know?
So out of the starting gate, and you say, I'm going down the wrong way. Out of the starting gate, and you just say to the horse, "Off you go, do your best," and...
Why not?
Okay, because it's a horse. Doesn't understand English.
Elaine O'Hare,
your point, please.
Oh, hello, Joe. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call.
I'm very, very upset about the whole thing. I've been going racing for the last 45 years to race meetings, both in London and in Dublin. And I have to say, we're going through a pandemic at the moment, and I've been cocooning, and a lot of my friends have died from COVID. Mm-hmm. But we're getting back to the horse. I thought it was the most insensitive thing I've ever seen in my life. I cried when I saw the photograph.
Okay.
I love animals. And Tracy Pickett yesterday was on your show, and she couldn't have been better in what she said. I met her father many years ago at a race meeting in England. But, you know, it was total ignorance, as far as I'm concerned, on his part. And I have never in all my life, in all the race meetings I've gone to, I mean, we had the likes of Kevin Prendergast, Mick O'Toole, all fine guys. Mm. And I have never, never come across this. And I'm really upset over it.
And what?
Very upset. I had a dog for 18 years and it died. And it took me many, many months. Okay. And I mean many months to get over the death of an animal. I know we all make mistakes, but this was a stupid mistake, totally ignorant of Gordon Elliott. Dreadful. If he had been putting his hand on the horse and his head near the horse and was sad, I would have accepted that, Joe. And but not this.
Okay, and what do you think should be the sanctions, Elaine?
What exactly do you mean there,
well,
Joe?
What should be the penalties? It looks like, well, he...
Well, I really think that he should pay the price. He's already going to, because I believe he's not having any horses in London. In Cheltenham this year. And I think he should pay the price. We all make mistakes. But I think he should be absolutely pay a big price.
You know, do you think he's not? Is he not? The man is obviously.
Sorry?
The man is obviously extraordinarily distressed if you have to read that.
Oh, yes, but the damage has been done.
Yeah.
And I'm distressed, even seeing the photograph and hearing about it. And I can tell you one thing, Joe, and all over the years, the racing industry has changed. Mm-hmm. And not for the better.
And what
I can assure you.
And Elaine, what do you think of? I don't know whether you heard Peter McNamara. His point is, if they're going to crucify Gordon Elliott, I'm paraphrasing, if they're going to crucify Gordon Elliott for sitting on a dead horse, why not have a go at Sheikh Mohammed, who owns.
I'm not talking about Sheikh Mohammed today. I'm talking about our country, our racing. We've already had problems in other ways with racing at the moment, you know.
What did you see? The train.
I went to bed last night and I dreamt of horses. That's how sensitive I am.
Okay, and tell us, what was the scenario?
What, my dream last night?
Yeah.
Sad.
Okay.
It was like a nightmare to me.
And were horses being injured in your dream, your nightmare?
Well, no, dead horses, actually.
Oh, God.
You know, that's what happened. He was sitting on a dead horse. Can he not afford to buy a bench? He'd be a newcomer to me in all over the years. He'd be a newcomer, but I'll tell you something. He'll pay the price, and I hope he does.
And from what you're saying, Elaine, you mean his career, his life?
Well, I mean, I'm not wishing him badness in his career, but he'll have to pull his socks up and get a bit of manners.
And what do you mean he's new into the industry?
Well, to me, he would be new. I mean, I'm over 40 years, you know, going to race meetings. And I mean, I wouldn't have known Gordon Elliott years ago. Well, yet I knew Kevin Prendergast, Mick O'Toole. You name the people. Yeah.
Well, Gordon isn't from racing stock. His father was a mechanic.
Well, I'm not going back there with you. Because do you know why, Joe? I'm upset today over this.
Yeah. And were you surprised to hear Sharon and the Martina from the horse welfare saying that they're having a terrible time in the lockdown fundraising?
Well,
Sharon Power.
I'm talking about what I saw yesterday in the papers, and to be quite honest with you, and I'm letting you know how upset I am as a person who loves animals.
Well, that's coming across loud and clear.
You know what I mean, Joe?
And what do you, when you say horse racing, given that, who was the caller, Michael, about, say, whipping horses?
Well, I mean, in all the years I've been racing, I've seen horses being whipped. That's part of the sort of, you know, but not excessively.
Yeah, okay.
Not excessively,
there
Joe.
There are rules in place.
I beg your pardon?
There are rules in place. And
oh, yes, and you can be in trouble if you over-whip the horses.
Okay.
You can be in trouble. But the horse racing industry has absolutely changed. Somebody told me the other day they were trying to get an account of three bookmakers and they wanted to know the whole life story. Their birth certificates, their this, their that, and everything else. I mean, hello, where is this going to?
Well, in fairness, one of Gordon's biggest owners, Michael O'Leary, said he stood by him and...
Well, I like Michael O'Leary, to be quite honest with you. I've met him at a race meeting, but he stood by him. Well, I mean, there's an awful lot of people who won't stand by him, I can assure you that.
Well, if you did see Gordon, you said you met Michael at a race meeting, so I thought, does that mean you get into the enclosure or whatever? But what would you say to Gordon if you met him?
Well, the way I feel today, Joe... It mightn't be too pleasant, and I wouldn't air it.
I'm sure you're not capable of...
That's how sensitive I am.
...profanity. I'd say you'd make your position clear and...
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be bothered talking to him.
Oh, would you not?
I know other people in the race, in the horse world. Some of them have passed away, Joe, who owned racehorses.
Yeah.
And they would be feeling the same as I am today, I can assure you.
And did you ever own a horse yourself, Elaine?
I didn't, but by Jesus, I should have.
Why?
Well, when you go to race meetings, you have a little flutter, don't you, at the race meetings?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
And win or lose, that's the life. But, I mean, I've always had a love of animals, and particularly horses. My niece has a horse, but it's not a race horse. It's, you know, a horse in the stables.
But, Elaine, you couldn't have owned a race horse, because you'd be...
Oh, of course I could.
You couldn't. You'd be standing in the stand at Leopard Center. Don't hit my horse. Don't go near my horse.
You know something.
Please have to hit my horse.
Years ago, a lady said to me, have you a horse running in the next race? I said, yes. And she said, what's the name for it? And I said, mind your own business.
Okay.
And she went looking for a horse called Mind Your Own Business in the Phoenix Park years ago. And she came back to me and she said that wasn't very good information you gave me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just annoyed, Joe. Sorry.
No, you're very clear. Thanks, Elaine. Mind yourself now.
And it's lovely speaking to you.
Likewise, and sweet dreams tonight. But I do take your point about something that so deeply upsets people in their daily lives.
God, in the middle of a pandemic, do we need this?
Yeah. Okay. Elaine, good evening, Margaret. That's Elaine O'Hara. 51551, my chance back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Peter, while you're still there and you're talking about the Curtham na Féin, a fair play, Gordon Elliott versus the treatment of Gordon Elliott versus the treatment of Sheikh Mohammed. But he's given a significant amount of money. The foundation, the Al Maktoum Foundation, it's run by his brother. They've given a significant amount of money to the Trinity Center for Middle East Studies, which was set up in 2019. Should Trinity give that money back?
Yeah, look, I as I said, Joe, I wouldn't comment on what Trinity should do. Sheikh Mohammed has given a lot of money around, and some of those studs are brilliant places to visit, including the Aga Khan stud above and our own national stud. It's a beautiful place to go, and people should visit it more often.
But hang on, just to be clear.
But the BHA
is my main point, Joe. No, yeah, but exactly. So you want the BHA, the civil organisation, to sanction Sheikh Mohammed over his treatment of one of his wives and two of his daughters, which, as you say, the headline is clear: Dubai ruler organised kidnapping of his children. That's from PA.
I wouldn't be bringing this subject up if they hadn't banned even if it's in a temporary basis, Gordon Elliott.
Okay.
But if they're going to ban Gordon Elliott before a hearing, a trial, or whatever, well, you know, we've had a trial in the UK court on Sheikh Mohammed, and what I was looking for was a little bit of fair play. And I can empathise with that
point is well made. Okay, you're not prepared to go down the other road of...
I would empathise with that lady who came on. Absolutely, in this country especially, and including myself,
Thanks, Peter. It's now 20 past. I'm not being rude, Peter. Thanks a million. Really appreciate it. Anthony, sorry for holding you for so long. Your point, please, Anthony. joe@rt.ie. Go ahead, Anthony.
That's right. You know, about sitting up on the horse, I went into a farmer's yard, a friend of mine, and he was sitting up on a dead cow.
Okay.
And he was crying. Right. And he was stroking the cow, and when the veterinary came into the yard, he said to him, I won't mention his name, no, why are you crying? He said, because she was the best cow I had, he said.
Yeah.
And I'm broken-hearted after her, he said. She was loyal to me.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, if you took a photograph of that gentleman sitting on top of the cow, and you put it online, Joe, it would have looked terrible. Now, the way I don't know Gordon Elliott, if you walk down the road, I don't follow horses. I look at it on television sometimes, the steeplechasing, because the jockeys, both male and female, are brilliant to look at. But Gordon Elliott is a countryman, right, you know, and he was probably up in the morning at 5 or 5:30, working hard. And the horse died during the night. Yeah. And maybe...
He died on the gallops, apparently.
He died in the gallop.
Cardiac. Now, the gallops can be quite early, can't they?
Yeah, can you? Yeah. And, you know, he came in and he looked at the beautiful animal on the ground, and, you know, he had to pick up the phone maybe and ring the owners or to ring his wife or somebody, and he probably sat in the horse like I would or anybody else in the country, and he probably stroked the horse and he said, Mother of God, what's after happening? And he rang and he says, you know, he says, this isn't right, like. And he could have been... The man could be all upset sitting on that horse.
But the thing is, Anthony, Gordon is not saying that.
No, because it might, you know, it might, maybe he might be embarrassed to say it.
Or any of his staff. He's 80 staff, not one of them is saying
that. I know, Joe, but...
1857, 15, 815, they do want to say anything, but not one of his staff are tweeting in support. But no one knows the provenance of tweets generally. But
maybe you see.
People want to hear a voice.
In the country where we have a different way of doing things, you know, I had a good dog. He's dead 10 years. Mm. A good gun dog, and I don't shoot, but I keep these springers, and they're absolutely wonderful. And he died. My old Brandy died, and you know, I was broken-hearted after him, and when I was burying, it was like burying a human, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you'll be stroking him, and you'll be looking at him, like, and probably, like my neighbour sitting in the cow, maybe Gordon sat in the horse, out of closeness, and probably sympathy for the horse.
Yeah.
And he was lonesome. I don't think he was very happy. I don't think he was saying, hip, hip, hooray. Do you know what I mean? We have to be very careful how you judge somebody. I mean, there are people saying that he should lose his license and the horses should be taken out of the yard. You know, you want to think things out and think them very carefully. I don't think Gordon Elliott would be a cruel man. I think that he would be a kind man, because he wouldn't be as successful as he is if he wasn't kind
point,
if he wasn't decent to his staff or to his animals. That's the point I'm making. Am I making sense, Joe?
No, you're making a lot of sense. Now, I also take the point, Anthony, that like it's not just rural folk. Anyone who has a dog or a cat or a budgie or whatever, people love their pets, love animals.
Yeah,
that's true, actually. from what we've been hearing earlier on, yeah.
Yeah.
I know stories. I have a great connection with Duffy Circus, for example, and they had a brilliant horse, gorgeous horse. That they treated like one of their own. Well, they're animals. They don't have many animals now because of the world we live in. But I know about their horse. I've been down to visit their incredible homestead in County Meath. They treat their animals like their own children. But I know that two of those boys, Tom and Jamie Duffy, when one of their horses had to be put down, the two of those boys lay on the ground with that horse and cried as the horse breathed its last.
Yeah.
Holding the horse, comforting
the horse. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Now, I understand that.
Yeah. And but what people... Go on, yes.
No, I'm just saying what people saw in that photograph, Anthony, was...
Yeah, a photograph, you're looking at it. But if you were there with the man himself standing beside him...
Yeah.
And you would have seen, to look at a photograph, I several photographs of you, and I see you in the books that I bought, that you wrote, and grand. But like, if you want to get to know somebody, you don't judge him by a photograph. He sat on the horse, he could have been, more than likely, I would honestly say that the man was really brokenhearted. A good horse, a young horse, after getting a heart attack, down the ground, and he came over. And he said, "Mother of God, that's it."
So, Anthony, if there's to be a sanction, now, you see, suffered already, even in terms of the public eye, and now the British Horse Racing Authority saying he won't be allowed into the UK until the Irish Horse Racing Board sorted out. What do you think the sanction should be?
You know, Joe, your first speaker, because he put me going, he made a lot of sense.
Peter,
He made an awful lot of sense, that man did. And if you look at the British and the British government...
I know, but...
You know, at the end of the day, Joe, they send arms out to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, where human rights, where women have no say whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they keep supplying them with all those, that kind of equipment.
And we take money from them, institutions.
We do, And poor old Garvin will sit in the horse and probably was mourning the horse, more than likely. If the question was asked, was the man broken-hearted after the horse? Was he? Okay. He didn't dance the horse. He sat down the horse and he was on his phone, probably explaining to people.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, and from what I hear you saying, he should not... He should not suffer in terms of sanctions, in terms of his license.
No.
But do you think he should be asked to make a donation to a horse charity?
Come here to me.
Okay.
The first man, your first speaker said that he made his name by treating a horse brilliantly, bringing him back from the brink, from being put down. And I would honestly say that Gordon Elliott is a good man. I would honestly say that he couldn't be after getting where he's after going in his business without he being kind to the animals. Because if you're not kind to animals, Aidan O'Brien and all these fellas, they have tremendous compassion for their horses and all of them. And Gordon Elliott would look at his horses, and if he didn't show compassion, and if his staff didn't get example from him, his yard wouldn't be a success. It couldn't be like. Just like everything in this life, you must have compassion and you must be able to work hard. And he has proven that. I don't know the man. I've never met him.
I will
meet him. But I would honestly say that's my take of it. And I think it's very easy for people, like, you know, we all jump in the wagon. Like, I mean, long ago now, when I was suffering from the ignorance of youth, like, I would jump in the wagon as well, crucify him, like. But that's not the real story, like. Like, I went into that man's yard. I saw him sitting in the cow. He was crying.
Yeah.
He was broken-hearted. If I took a photograph of that man and put it online, there'd be uproar.
Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
Say what is.
Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it makes sense to a lot of people, I suspect. Eamon is in the UK. Okay, Eamon, you go first on the point you want to make. Stay with us,
Anthony. Am I finished?
No, you're not, Anthony. If you can, stay with us. Put the kettle
on. I will, yeah.
People want to hear your wisdom. Eamon, your point, please.
Hiya, Joe. I'd argue with you that I'm in the UK, but anyway.
Well, it says Mobile UK on my screen.
Yeah. I'm in Belfast.
That's what comes up on the screen. RTE, stop that. Whoever that supplier is of our service, I think it's a UK supplier. It says Mobile UK.
Joe, I've been a lot
Forgive me, Eamon.
You're all right. Okay. I've been a lot of Facebook pages, you know, about racing, and there's a lot of anti-Irish sentiment on them, continually. Never mind, you know, with this what Gordon has done, and, you know, it is shocking and it is revolting, you know, and I love horses, I've ridden horses all my life, so, you know, but I think the man is going to be hung up like the dry. I think there's an inverse snobbery as well, and we've heard it from one of your callers, you know, about him being a newcomer, which I found, you know, very distasteful, just the way she described him as a newcomer. You know, that description would have been made of Gordon on Friday before these pictures, you know, came out, and I would worry he'll not get a fair crack of the whip from the authorities because he is a newcomer. But I go to Down Royal on Boxing Day. I don't go for the drink. I go to look at the horses, and I, you know, watch them in the parade ring at every race.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gordon Elliott's horses look as if they're about to go to Dublin Show for a hunter class. They are the best turned out. They are the fittest looking, you know, compared to any other horse. You know, I know my horses, and you can see ones that are a bit long in the coat. They're, you know, or maybe carrying, you know, not enough weight. But Elliott's are always 100% tip top, and I just hope he doesn't get crucified for one mistake that he's made.
But Eamon, I thought in the UK, across the water, that they love the Irish. They love the Irish at Cheltenham. They love the rivalry between the Irish horse and the British horse, or whatever they call them.
I think the problem is the Irish horse has been on top quite a while now, you know. If you read those pages, you know, they see Ireland as a bit backward and more, and we are, and I don't mean backward, we're a more rural type place, so, you know, animals are animals. You know, there's one famous trainer, I can't remember the lady's name, but she trained Best Mate, you know, one of the best horses in Britain, and her phrase was, without dead stock, you wouldn't have livestock, and there's a bit of truth in that, you know, animals are going to die. I think Gordon was, you know, sitting on top of that horse, and the smile was shocking.
What do you think Gordon should do?
I don't honestly know. I'd hate to be in his shoes at the minute. A lot of people are, you know, there's a lot of talk about charity stuff and this, that, and the other. I just think that would be, you know, a bit of a whitewash. I think he should come out with, you know, I don't honestly know what he should do. I think he should stand down for 2 or 3 months himself, to be brutally honest. Hand the reins over to, you know, someone in his yard, and maybe just go away and reflect on it. But I think he will be hung out to dry. I mean, the fact that the British Horse Racing Board have come out and banned him, you know, even before a trial, speaks volumes of how they're looking at it. But I feel sorry for him. As I say, you know, as animals, any time I've seen them, they're 110%. And, you know, there's a lot,
but you, as with Peter and other callers, are taking issue with the British horse racing authorities having made, in effect, a judgment. They're saying you can't race in England or the UK, whatever way they refer to it there. You can't race in the UK until the Irish authorities deal with it, even though the Irish authorities might decide on Friday or at the weekend to exonerate Gordon Elliott. But in the meantime, the damage has been done to Gordon because a lot of his horses, as you know, have been moved to other stables so they can run at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I just think I don't know the answers to any of those things, but I mean, callers have brought up, you know, Sheikh Mohammed, and I think the hypocrisy is staggering. You know, you see the pictures of Sheikh Mohammed this year, or maybe the year before, sorry, you know, shaking hands with Her Majesty the Queen at Royal Ascot and stuff like that. But Sheikh Mohammed isn't a newcomer, you know, as one of your callers. The caller who described Gordon Elliott as a newcomer didn't want to comment on Sheikh Mohammed, which I also found quite interesting, you know, in her tone. She didn't want to comment on
the back caller is gone, so
do you not find it interesting yourself that she didn't want to comment on him, but was quite happy to comment on the newcomer, which, you know, just that terminology of Gordon Elliott, you know, racing's a fantastic sport, and, you know, horses are fantastic animals, and, you know, it should be open to anyone, and it's the talent to train horses, you know, it shouldn't be excluded because of their social class or their background, you know.
Okay, Eamon, thanks indeed. That's Eamon Rooney in Belfast. 51551, more chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Still talking, people want to talk about the various angles on the Gordon Elliott story, as it's now known, worldwide, New York Times. Every country in the world that's interested in horse racing, or indeed animals, is covering this story at the minute. Sinead, your point, please. Now, please be careful, Sinead. I don't know. You've a question. I'll put it as question, Sinead, rather than answers.
Just in regard to people saying about the BHA stepping in,
yeah, the British
Horse
Racing.
Without a doubt they were right to step in with them and take immediate action.
Yeah.
And what hasn't been clarified by anybody or questioned is that the photograph with Gordon Elliott was taken, we think, between a year to 2 years ago. Plus, there were three people in that photograph, the person who took the photograph and somebody standing to his left.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been questioned as to how that photograph was in their hands for that length of time. And then last night, the new video that was circulated of a jockey sitting again on a dead horse, that was taken 5 years ago with other stable staff in the video, which the Irish Federation are now saying they're also investigating. So questions have to be asked. How many members of the staff of these yards knew that video and that photograph was in circulation for a time frame of 5 years and a year plus?
And what should they have done if they knew?
Without a doubt, obviously there is a fear you're going to lose your job if you speak out. But I mean, nothing is stopping anybody involved in racing. And I'm involved in racing myself.
Mm-hmm.
To send an anonymous email or ring up the Irish Horse Racing Federation and tell them what they have and make a complaint. But again, it boils back down to, oh, the old whistleblowers in Ireland. Nobody wants to speak out. What's paramount here is the welfare of people's horses, of all animals. And nobody is mentioning the owners of those horses. They must be absolutely devastated, because I know if it was one of my horses.
But Sinead, I'm missing the point. You're saying, why did it come out now? Isn't that your
exactly.
question?
Exactly. Why has it been? No, not why has it come out now. I'm delighted it's come out now.
Okay.
Why has it been hidden for so long? And if that has been, those two cases have been hidden for that period of time.
Well, do you think the timing is to do with Cheltenham?
No, I think there's a lot more to the timing, which I'm not going to say, but I have to question if people have been in possession of those videos and those photographs. What else do we not know? What else is going to come out between now and Friday?
We'll wait and see, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
It's not it is what it is, Joe. It's animal welfare. We see the likes of My Lovely Horse. They do much.
Yeah.
They do, and I'm a huge supporter of them. And they get pittance from the state. Pittance.
Yeah.
And then we have these vast owners that I won't mention, but, you know, some of them are billionaires. And then you see the likes of this charity that gets diddly squat from the Irish government. And where's the Department of Agriculture and all this? Where? How come we've had no statement from them? We've had a statement from the Minister of Sport this morning on RTE, but where's the Department of Agriculture? They are the ones that hand out the money to Irish horse racing and to the dogs. No statement. Again, there has to be more action. People need to speak out about this. Granted, people make mistakes. We've all made mistakes, but I've never made a mistake when it comes to the care of my animals. Never.
And what do you think?
I buried every one of them with dignity.
And what?
And my heart breaks every time I lose one of my animals.
But is it, well, you know, well, it's happened here as well, but more so in the UK, that there is a serious campaign in the UK against, you know, they banned fox hunting, against animal cruelty. It's probably more active than here. There's a big campaign against the Grand National because the number of horses that are injured or die in the Grand National. Do you think it's a part of that campaign?
But no, people are complaining about the BHA stepping in on, you know, on Irish problems. But the problem is we don't have enough proaction in Ireland to stop the likes of this. And maybe the Irish Horse Racing Board should have some sort of an amnesty and say, look, do you know what's going on? Let us know.
Hmm.
We'll protect you. Because there needs, and people are talking about, oh, you know, Gordon Ellis, he made a mistake, big mistake to make. He has brought the entire sport into disrepute. There are thousands of stable staff who give 24/7 to the love of their horses and to other people's horses in their care. There are thousands of trainers who love their horses.
Stay with us, Sinead. Just listen to Stephen Cullen, who's in Kildare. Sinead is in Dublin 12. Stephen, your point, please.
How you doing, Joe? I just want to defend Gordon Ellis, tell you. The man, sorry, I'm just driving here. The man...
Well, pull in, will you?
I'll have you on the old speaker there, but I am pulling in. But, the man took a photograph with a dead horse, right?
Yeah.
Now, moments after that photo was taken, that horse would have been lifted up by the hooves with metal chains and thrown into the back of a lorry full of other dead animals. Now, that's cruelty. But what Gordon Elliott done is not cruelty in my eyes. So all this talk of Gordon Elliott being treating his animals wrongly is not right. The man shouldn't be banned either from Cheltenham, but you look at that's going to be up for debate this week as well. So,
yeah, and Sinead, what do you think of Stephen's point that the horse was dead? Is that your point, Stephen? The horse was dead and was going to be
Yeah, so Gordon Elliott looked after his horse really well, like a dead horse that he looked after really well that had a great life on his yard. Fair enough, he sat on it. He didn't do anything. He wasn't kicking the horse. He wasn't doing anything bad to it. He just sat on the horse.
Sinead?
He probably loved so
Sinead.
Much.
I get Stephen's point, but the point is, you know, owners spend huge sums of money to put their horses into his care. And if you can disrespect the corpse of an animal in that way and then hide it for a period of
Stephen's point, what do we not know?
But the thing is, though, moments later, they spent all that money on a horse, and at the end of the day, it's going to be lying in a yard of a knackery somewhere in around Meath, wherever it was. So like, Gordon Elliott done nothing wrong, but these yards that hold all these horses are just lying them all over yards. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's cruelty. They should be just, I don't know what way they should be disposed of, but the way the animals are disposed of these days is not the right way. And Gordon Elliott done nothing wrong. He shouldn't be treated like that at all.
And what should be the sanction, Stephen?
Well, first of all, he has suffered enough. Yeah, like he shouldn't be getting a ban. The worst case scenario he should do is pay a fine, or pay a small amount of money to a charity like My Lovely Horse or one of them. But I, personally, Joe, I think there's an agenda here. I think somebody's hanging about the dry 2 weeks before Cheltenham, and this comes up. I think there's something else behind the scene that we're not hearing, but. I don't know. I say there'll
be
a lot more.
What's the agenda then?
We don't know, Sinead. But somebody
has something personal against Gordon Elliott, I think.
Okay.
And he's been made to pay for it. Now.
Okay, stay there. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I think it's fair to say at this stage that the Liveline pendulum, at least, has swung in favour of Gordon Elliott in terms of he has suffered. He's obviously very, very distressed. Nobody died. The horse was dead already. I'm just paraphrasing now. Bear with me. Nobody died. The horse was dead already. He has such a track record. He's so many people employed. His yard, if you look at any of the images of his yard and the facilities in his yard and the way the horses are treated, generally that seems to be very... a positive. His moment of madness. He gave an interview to the Racing Post, which is the industry paper. So I presume maybe if he'd given a more general one, but anyway, he did give an interview to the Racing Post, to the credit of the Racing Post and Alan Byrne, the Irishman who runs and owns it, which is a great achievement in itself. But people are saying that the judgment, especially of the British authorities, in hiding behind the Irish authorities, but making the judgment before they've said you can't come to England until the Irish authorities sort it out. But the Irish authorities are not saying you can't go anywhere. But anyway, that's Danny Tiernan. You're one of the people who say the punishment to Gordon Elliott is too much at this stage.
Well, He's looking at it from the British point of view. He's guilty. He's guilty until he proves his innocence. I also have people who are innocent until proven guilty. But anyway.
And he's the other thing people don't take, whether they should, he's a very young man. It's his birthday today, I think, is it?
Yeah.
He's 42?
44 today.
44, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's young. But anyway, that's
here and there. I'm not into the horses with Gigi's like that, but I like watching them running a lot of time. I'd be a grand national man, you know, just to put on the bet. But I there's a couple of things wrong with this that doesn't, I can't comprehend, I can't get around. One, the photograph was taken in, what was it, 1998, 1999? I think it was taken in 98. Why was it released now? 2018, sorry.
Okay.
Why was it released now? Like, why did the photographer release it now?
It's out there.
It's out there now.
Yeah.
But there's another aspect to it. What about the trainers? Oh. What about the owners of the horses?
Okay.
Are they been penalised as well? What about the stable boys? What, the stable hands, sorry, I mean, male, female.
Yeah, lots of
What about them? Are they been penalised? There's more people been penalised by what they're doing to Gordon Elliott than deserve to be penalised.
Okay.
Do you know where I'm coming from?
I do. And what should there be a sanction on Gordon?
All right, if they think that he's done something wrong, fair enough, fine him. You know, find them and get on with it, or let them make a donation to some charity box or something like that. See happening in our own courts from time to time.
Well, mine, it should be a horse. It should be a horse charity.
Oh, well, that's what I mean.
We don't. I suspect they already give money to horse charities. But anyway, I don't know. Let's not presume they don't.
Yeah, but I don't think he should lose his stable. Because of what he's done. All right, he's apologised. Some people don't accept his apology. That happens in life. You know, I've apologised for things I've done. People accept it. People don't accept it. And I'm sure that's happened to everybody, you know. Let those without sin stand up. Mm. You know?
And Gordon's point that it was a moment of madness that he will live with and suffer from for the rest of his life, which is Mother of God. So
yeah.
He's
going to suffer more than anyone. And there's a lot of people out there want to see him. Yeah. Well, now, I don't know Gordon Elliott from
your
blog. But I think that people have a death wish out there to get rid of him. I don't mean kill him or anything, but you know what I mean? To throw him out of his business or get rid of him out of his business for some reason or other.
Yeah.
And he's a lot of people employed, I believe. He's 80 or 90 people employed. Yeah.
But Tiger Old is now out of the Grand National, which would have been historic if he'd won the Grand National.
Now, who's the owner of that horse? That owner been penalised?
Well, Michael is here. Michael O'Leary is the owner, isn't he? Tiger O'Leary. And apparently, Gordon was 29. 29 when he had his first Grand National winner, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. But anyway.
There's a lot of people, Joe, will slap you on the back till you make a mistake.
I know.
And you're always remembered by your last mistake.
And a lot of people seem to be reminding us that one, Gordon didn't kill the horse. The horse had died, unfortunately.
The horse died,
as horses do. The moment of madness, as he called it.
We all do things in the moment of madness, Joe.
Okay.
We've all done something stupid at some point in time or in our lifetime.
So you're saying enough is enough?
I think enough is enough. He's been slandered on the phone. He's been slandered on the radio and on the television.
Hopefully he hasn't been slandered in this program.
Well, his name has been dragged.
Yeah.
Dragged to radio and television and on the papers in relation to this incident, like, you know?
Yeah.
But again, I get back to, where was the photograph? Now, why was it released now?
I know. We'll never know. I don't know.
I know what it will do, Joe. Like, I'm an amateur photographer. I take a lot of photographs, and a lot of them have been published and bought on the net and in the papers.
Fair play.
And I don't get paid for it. I don't look for money for them if people want them, they can have them. But if people are going to punish Gordon Elliott for what he did, if the photograph was taken by an amateur photographer and put up there, that's going to stop the likes of us going into a stable and taking a photograph of a horse, or going to a do and taking a photograph of something that's going on or something that's happening.
Okay.
because people won't trust us to hold that photograph, keep that photograph, and treat it with respect.
But isn't part of the problem, as Tracy Pickett pointed out so forcefully yesterday, that Ireland, every ad for Ireland has a horse racing industry in it. Every ad has a horse in it. It's almost our national symbol. It's not Kerrygold, and it's not Guinness. It's the horse.
And well, he was on a coin, do you remember?
Yeah, of course, beautiful coin on the half crown, wasn't it?
Half crown, yeah.
But that it's so associated with our image that we should be, one, so vigilant, and two, if anything happens like this, we should be so contrite.
Okay.
Danny. Good to meet you, Mark. Danny Tiernan, 51551. Wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RT.ie. Has Gordon Elliott got a friend in James Taylor? James, good afternoon.
Joe, how are things?
Tell us your angle on this. It's fascinating. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I worked in the disposal industry of animals in the UK there for the best part of 15 years. And okay. I mean, Gordon has made a... He's made a terrible mistake, and that's it, sitting on the horse and that sort of thing. But he has the position that Gordon's in when something like that happens is he's the head of the family, if you put it in that context, of the racing yard, 80 staff, and he would be the head of that family. He would have 200 horses in his care. He has a number of actions to take. Mm-hmm. As that horse has had its accident and it's died, which is, you never like to see it in anything. He has then a multiple amount of things to do. He has to contact the vet. He has to contact the owner.
Okay.
He has to contact somebody to remove that animal. He also has to look after all the staff, because their focus has also got to be on the other 199 animals that are still in that yard. And he has to keep all of those people focused on the care of those animals whilst respectfully trying to deal with the animal that he has.
And James, when a horse dies suddenly, do the authorities have to be, does there have to be a post-mortem or...?
It would depend greatly on whether the horse was insured, whether ownership of the animal whether they requested it, whether the trainer requested it. There's a lot of things been pulled in today between Gordon Elliott and some of the Arabs. Gordon Elliott's a trainer. The Arabs own horses and then have trainers working for them. So there's a very big difference in that area. Gordon will get hung out to dry on this. He'll be, the photo is something that shouldn't have happened, but people need to...
Excuse my ignorance, James. There isn't, even when I hear myself composing the question, I know it's stupid, hardly unusual. There's no ritual, is there, on sitting on a horse when they die? There's no old
No, there isn't. It's something that has happened. It's a mistake. His mind could be in 20 different places, and to start with, he could have sat down and not realised what he was doing. Very, very, very. It's not something that he would deal with every day. It's not something that he knows exactly what to do. When it happens, he would have
to think, James, what do I
have to do now?
Sorry, I'm just conscious. James, do all horses, when they die, do they all go to the knacker's yard? Are they all dismembered, in other words? Be delicate in your
language. No, they're not, and they haven't been for some years.
Horses would be buried, would they?
There would be a certain percentage that would. Yeah. There would be a certain percentage that would be cremated in certain instances and in different ways. There's different regulations connected with the disposal of animals, and they're changing drastically. The old view of a knacker yard where an animal is dismembered and the meat is sold, that is something that finished 30 years ago.
Okay, And the whole thing about horse being used for glue and various other ingredients.
That's something
or
that
mean or used as feed for other for yeah, pet, for some, dogs
that's
or whatever.
That's something that happened 30 years ago. And it's petered out. There would be a small
So James, what happens to a horse now when they're dismembered? Are they incinerated? Did they go to the?
A lot of them would be cremated, and cremated would be the better term rather than incinerated.
Okay.
You know, the basis of the thing is exactly the same. The animal is cremated.
Okay. Well, would many of them go to pet food factories?
No, not if they've. If they've died of natural causes, or they haven't, or they've been put down outside of an EEC registered slaughterhouse. Okay. You know, there's different, but it is
regulated. What happens?
Oh,
to
it is. It's a regulated.
Stay there for a sec, James, please. I just want to let a couple of people in. Brenda from Crafty Fox Flowers. Nothing to do with animals, but you just want to give your observation about the treatment of animals in the Dublin area. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah. Hello, Joe. Yeah, well, just I drive by Dunsink every evening going home, and there's about 100 horses up on the. But there used to be the old dump.
It's a pound, is it?
Yeah, and they're running around. There was people on the radio on RTE a couple of weeks ago looking for. It was a charity.
Yeah, my lovely horse. Yeah,
they were trying to feed them and look after them.
And Suzanne Campbell did a report. A great
and there
report,
was no kick up about it. You then is it because that they're nags that they're you know?
Okay.
There's been photographs in the paper.
What are you saying about the horses who were born? Where was that?
There was one out in Ballyfermot where the horse was set on fire. There was a horse beaten to death around. I don't want to name the states because it's not fair, but there was a lot. It's been in the Herald. There's been horses being beaten to death, ridden to death. If you remember a few years ago, the one that was out in Malahide, the little donkey. Yeah, there was an awful lot. And there was no big kick-up about that.
Okay, say there, Brenda.
Because this is a racehorse, you know, and a much more expensive horse that is a kick-up.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't seem right.
Okay, thanks, Brenda. Brenda and Crafty Fox. Martina Kenny of My Lovely Horse, a brilliant charity. Those stories that Brenda told, are you still hearing those stories? Horses being born?
There's all sorts of going on. Like, we have 253 including donkeys in our care right now.
Okay, Martine, I'll try and get a better line because you deserve a better line. James Taylor is still there. Alan O'Sullivan in Cork, your quick point, please, Alan.
Hiya, Joe. Suppose my point is just, it's just a pity that obviously this whole thing is about, I wouldn't excuse Gordon Eddie. I think what he did is stupid. But I think it's just one mistake. I think there's no way he'd be the trainer that he is, a successful trainer, if he didn't treat the animals well. I go racing a bit. I have no association other than just I love racing. And the way, if you see the stable lassies looking after those horses in the parade rings after races, you see jockeys themselves. There was a horse, an Irish jockey, Darrell Jacob, last weekend. One of his the horse he was riding in the race, he went wrong in the race. He had to be put down. The man was in tears after the race. Like, I think, like Gordon Elliott or anybody else that's involved in racing, they care about the animals. If they didn't, they wouldn't be able to do it. And I hope that the industry, people outside, I say the outside industry, I'm not in it myself, but like people wouldn't tar everybody or every trainer or anybody else with the same brush, know that, oh, that's how they treat animals or they've no respect for them or anything else. Because from what I've seen, they absolutely love the animals. And I think what he did was silly. Everybody, that's been well covered, well documented. I think he's been definitely hung out to dry on a separate agenda, and I think that'll come out in time to come, maybe. But I think that racing people are outside the industry, I hope that people realise that that's not normal, that these animals are very, very well treated, you know, trained twice a day, fed twice a day, scoped every, you know, before every race, after every race. And I know you might say that's because it's business and they're trying to win and everything else, but they have a very good life. You know, they're superb athletes, they're elite animals. And they're treated as such. So I just think it's a mistake, and I hope he's not. I hope he gets it, like, the sanction wise, you know, maybe he'd be fined, or maybe they'll get inspections, more frequent inspections, or something like that. But I think the man, his livelihood, you know, it shouldn't hang in the balance.
Okay.
You know?
So. Which I can tell you, that's the way the pendulum has swung today on Liveline. Thanks indeed, all our callers. By the way, my lovely horse, the line is dreadful, but we'll put up the details of that incredible charity on our website afterwards, and we'll tweet it as well if you want to do your own little thing in terms of a great effort. Okay, Annette Egan produced, and Ray Darcy is next.